Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what was said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This day in which the Church in the United States celebrates the feast of the first native-born American saint, a New Yorker, somebody who walks some of the same streets we walk. The gospel that God's providence gives us today describes 4 different vocation stories. The vocation of St. John the Baptist to point out Jesus when at last he came. The vocations of Andrew, and all the evidence points to John as apostles. The vocation of Peter to be the rock. What I'd love to focus on, based on today's first reading, is the hunger that is involved in these vocations. We prayed at the beginning of Mass that God would give us the same burning zeal St. Elizabeth Ann Seton had in seeking God, and that we might be marked by a similar diligent love, finding the Lord in daily service with sincere faith. She was marked by her seeking of the Lord, which is why she became one of the great converts, seeking the Lord, and she wanted to share that hunger, not just to her own kids and nieces and nephews, but she founded not only the first American religious order, but the first American school there in Emmitsburg, Maryland, to help them to seek and to find the same God she sought and found. In today's gospel, we have that interesting dialogue when Andrew and John, terrible private investigators, following Jesus' footsteps, he turns around and asks, "What are you looking for?" And they say, "Where are you staying?" Seems like a nervous interrogative. They had to come up with something. So instead of saying, "Beautiful day, isn't it?" or whatever else, they said, "Where are you staying?" They wanted to know where he remained. Out of the mouth of spiritual children comes perfect praise. They wanted, in essence, to be with Jesus, which is the fundamental mark of a disciple. And Jesus, knowing that, said, "Come and you will see." He wasn't just going to tell them what his address was, because he had no place to lay his head. He was going to invite them into a relationship. "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and stayed there that day. And as we know, it was sundown on the vigil of the Sabbath, so they would have stayed there for 26 hours. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they noted that exact time. So they stayed with him for a day. One of the most interesting aspects of this entire gospel passage to me is, even though St. John was there, and even though he would be able to recite many of Jesus' dialogues elsewhere in this gospel, he tells us nothing about what they talked about for those 26 hours. They would have been asking lots of questions, Jesus would have been given lots of answers, but none of it is recorded. Why? Probably to help all of us to make retreat days in which God seems not to be speaking. No. Because the most important reality that wanted to be communicated was just being with Jesus. It was less exactly what he had said from that point on. It was more who he was and what he was saying by his very body language. And what they were saying just by being with him, which would become the characteristic not only for the rest of their life, but also eternity, to be with the Lord. That a burning zeal to seek him, and then when they found him, they didn't want to be anywhere else. It's a characteristic mark of vocation. Today's first reading, we see something that same St. John, who was present following Jesus and staying with him that day, writes about the Christian life. His whole first letter, as we've been hearing about for the last week, is about abiding in the Lord. And there were a bunch of Gnostics at the time who were basically saying, hey, we can abide with the Lord, we can search for the Lord any way that we want, and there's no such thing really as cutting off our communion with the Lord through sinful behavior, because our body's evil, not given to us by God, and so whatever we do with our body doesn't matter. We can sin as much as we want. It's not going to cut off that communion. So St. John says some very challenging words. Children, let no one deceive you. A person who acts in righteousness is righteous, just as the Lord is righteous. Whoever sins, however, belongs to the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. No one who is begotten by God commits sin, because the seed of God remains in him. He can't sin because he's begotten by sin. This way, the children of God and the children of the devil are made plain. No one who fails to act in righteousness belongs to God, nor anyone who doesn't love his brother. What's he saying here? He's saying that if we belong to the Lord, we seek to live as righteously as he does. He says very strong words against the Gnostics. He doesn't sin. But of course, that's not what he means if we understand it literalistically, because earlier in this letter, he says a few things. He says, the one who says, I have no sin, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. And if we sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ himself. So St. John was not the Blessed Virgin Mary, even though he took her into his own. St. John was a sinner just like us. So what does he mean that the one begotten by God doesn't sin? Those of us who are truly living in God know sin is there. But there's part of us that's not fully yet belonging to the Lord. We're ontologically belonging to him by baptism, but morally we're not all there. We're still divided. St. Paul would use the words about concupiscence, not doing the good we want to do, not rejecting the evil we want to avoid. There are sins of weakness that take place. But we're seeking to bring every aspect of our life into communion with the Lord, and we're not accepting that God gives us a green light to continue to sin. And if we sin, as St. John says, we do have that advocate, that same Lamb of God that John the Baptist pointed out, who came into our world to take away those sins. The same one whose name we invoked yesterday, Yeshua, God saves. Because, as the angel had said, he would save his people from their sins. Jesus seeks to bring us into a true, full communion, wholly and entirely with him, like Our Lady, who was full of grace, which means full of God. That's his goal for us. It will be fulfilled in heaven, but he wants to help us precisely in this world to live more and more in righteousness. And he who calls us to this vocation sends all the help he knows we need to do it. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton is a great teacher in this way. In the breviary lesson today, she tells us that Christian life is nothing other than the continuation of Christ's love and life in us. His life dwells. We abide in him. He abides in us. What a wondrous exchange, as the fathers of the saints would call it. But the way that that comes about is for us, as she says, to do the will of the Lord just as Jesus did, because it is precisely the Lord's will. That will is to love God the Father with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love others just as Jesus has loved us first. We need God's help. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton needed God's help. St. John, St. Andrew, St. John the Baptist, St. Peter, they all needed God's help. And the greatest help we receive is the Holy Eucharist, in which Jesus comes to dwell within us, and we dwell with him, not just for 26 hours, but for a lifetime.